All right. Sherry, you look like you're sitting in a car somewhere.
Yeah, I just finished a business expo. So I'm going to be. So I'm just having my lunch before I start driving.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. Looks like Abby Conlon is there. I'll let Abby in. Got to keep an eye on that, actually. All right. Hi, Abby. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, good. Good, good. Good to see you. Well, see your logo anyway. Good to hear from you. Yeah. All right. I don't have a lot on my agenda today, but there was something that came up last time. Hi, Sam. Good to see you. That came up last time. And, oh, well done too, Sammy. I'm waiting for a recording. I want to hear that radio interview.
Hello. Sorry, hello. I'm eating. That's why I didn't want to subject you to. Yep. I've just been another job till now, and I am starving. So I've been up since 3 o'clock. But yeah, I'll talk to you separately about my recording. But have you listened to it?
No worries. Cool. Well done.
Have you listened to it?
Right. Well, no, I didn't even know about it until after the event. So
it's on my business page and my personal page. But I don't. You know what I mean? You don't. You might not want it when you hear it.
any publicity is good publicity, they say.
We can talk about that separately.
Righto, okie dokie. all right. So I started to say, actually what I'll do, Nick, I put on the Facebook last week that Nick started doing updates. Interesting thing happened. Nick had a computer crash and it's actually turned out to be a good thing because he transferred everything to another computer and then realized that he actually, when he rescued the one that crashed, he had two copies of Spending Planner that he was working on two different computers. And up until now, every time he's done an update, he said to me, right, that's the last big update I'm doing from now on. I'm just going to do little bits and pieces so that there's not, because what happened is you'll have five or six different feature changes. Then he'll get nervous that something might break it and he'll spend ages and ages and ages testing and while we wait and wait and wait. However, because he's actually got two copies of the same thing, he's gone, oh, you know what, I can actually just take one piece of what I've been working on without losing the rest of the work and just upload that. And so all of a sudden, because of this crash that he had, he's now actually found a way to do just one feature change at a time. So that's what's been happening. So on the post that I put on the Facebook forum last week or whenever it was, might have actually been the week before, I mentioned a couple of things that he'd done. And one of them, I said, this probably doesn't affect many of you. Some USA clients have got issues with their dates being back to front. And Sherry piped in and said, oh, actually, I had a problem. But that has now been totally resolved, and now it doesn't matter where you are on the planet. If you put in a date, that is the date, and it won't matter if you as a Spending Planner enter dates in Australia for a client that's in some other country. Whatever date you put in is the date that will appear, and it won't creep back a day or whatever because of the international date line. So that is a big win, and if you were to go and research online, you would find that computer programmers right around the world who have anything that's online, dates and date formats is a massive headache unless you live in America. Because Microsoft and Apple are both American companies, and Americans tend to sort of think that America is the center of the universe. And I'm sorry to all of my American friends for saying that. When they develop software, they really don't think too much about other people and what challenges they might have. But so it has been a massive challenge to overcome the date format and the date line thing, but it would appear that we've resolved that. So that's a big plus. Next cab off the rank for development is actually Sammy. I think you've got a lady who complains that when she processes her due transactions, it doesn't work, but it actually does work. But what's happening is she presses the button to process all her transactions. And then She goes back and has a look, and they're all still there. But the thing is that the internet is so slow.
That's not actually accurate, that she processes them individually and they're still there. So she uses the spending planner to pay her bills. They never go away. When she processes one, it doesn't go away. And then she thinks, I'm going to process the next one. It might work. It's just this big lag. Is that not fixed yet?
Well, the thing, what according to Nick, the problem is that the speed of the internet is an issue. And we've got a server, which is very quick, and things that happen at the server happen very quickly. And we've got our computers, and things that happen on our computer usually happen very quickly. But in between, we've got this connection, which we have no idea whether it's fast or slow or intermittent. You could be sitting on a train on your way home from work, working on your spending plan. The train could go into a tunnel. The internet could drop off, come out of the tunnel, and it reconnects. There is no way of your browser on your computer knowing what has or hasn't happened at the server end. So there's forever this checking backwards and forwards and stuff going on. So if you've ever had a client say to you, oh, something's gone wrong, I've got two of everything or three of everything I've had, or even four, it's because they've pressed a button that requires a recalculate. The message has gone to the server. The server has done a recalculate. If they've got lots of transactions, the server could take a couple of seconds to do that calculation before it sends the information back to your computer to say, here's the new version. Meanwhile, if you weren't patient and didn't wait 2 seconds and clicked on something else that required the computer to do a recalculate, like edit another transaction in your list, you then actually tell the server to go and do a recalculate, and it's already done a recalculate. Now it's done another one, so it's got two of everything. So the solution to that problem is just to go and open any account in your list of accounts and then click on the save button. That forces it to do a recalc, and whenever it does a recalc, it throws everything away. It basically deletes the whole plan and generates a new one. And when it does that, it gets rid of all of the duplicates. Now, according to Nick, what's happening with your client, she needs to wait longer before she goes back, and then the transactions will have disappeared. If that's not the case, I'm going to have to do more investigating.
It's not the case. I've spoken to Nick about it. I've sat with her in coffee shops waiting for it to process a transaction. It's not done it. We've sent it to Nick.
Once it comes back to your screen, the screen is not going to change until you do something like, if you refresh the browser, then it will go and have another look. So that might be the key, but it's pointless you and I saying, oh, yes, no, maybe, whatever. All I've got to go on is what Nick's told me. And clearly
I've sat with her when she's been doing it, and it's just not doing it. It's slow and it's clunky, and they don't go away when she processes them.
Yeah.
And she's been a client for 3 or 4 years, so she knows how it works.
Next time she does that and it hasn't gone away, just ask her to refresh the browser. Don't do anything in the spending planet, just refresh the page and see.
Excuse me, David.
Yep.
Pedley's waiting to join.
Oh. Who is? He's not on my list. He's not on my list. He's not there. Oh, now he is. All right. Got him. All right. Well, Sammy, that's something that we'll have to discuss privately, but just if you could ask it just to do a refresh and see if when it refreshes whether the transaction has gone away. But according to Nick, that's all that has to happen. But if he's wrong, we need to know about it. So
I better talk to you after. I'm a bit disappointed. This is months old, David, months old.
Right, yep. So anyway, the other part of that is that some time ago, people requested a bullet point, like a bullet list down the side of the due transaction, so you could say, I want to process this one. That will be the part of the next update that will happen. So I know some of you have been waiting a long time and saying, can we have that? Basically, yes, you can, and it's coming soon. So, all right, moving right along. Some of you may have noticed Carolyn Mose has a course that she asked me, could she list it on the Spending Planners Facebook page or whatever. And I absolutely will do that. And I just wanted you to know that any one of you that has an event or a product or anything at all that you want the world to know about, send it to Kathy because she will put it up on our Facebook page. It's not, there's no club where some can and some can't. It's basically anybody who's a spending planner. If you've got something that you've got happening or a product that you've created that you want people to know about, send it to Kathy and she'll put it up on the Spending Planners Facebook page. All right. Now, last month, question came up about templates. And there was a lot of people who really didn't know much about templates. And I had to admit that I personally hadn't looked at them for a long time. So I thought it would probably be a good idea if we did that. And somebody else actually suggested that it's probably not a bad idea from time to time to go and look at the software and just go over features and make sure that we all know the basics. So I'm going to do a screen share and we'll have a look at it. So I need, where's it gone? Where has it gone? There it is. All right. So I've created a fake spending planner by the name of Demo, and he has no clients, but we're going to create a couple and we're going to see what happens with templates. But before we do that, the spending planner actually has to go to his templates page and create some templates. And then we will see how they work. So if you've never been there, if you click on templates, you'll see that it says you don't have any templates. So you can add one or you can clone one. If you clone a template, that's basically, obviously, you know, the word clone means copy. It's actually looking back to the server at what I have, or Nick and I have set up, which are the two templates that get loaded automatically if you don't have a template set. So you don't have to choose these because they are the default. But if you wanted to, you could actually pick one. It then will become a template that you can use with your clients. And if you go to the edit, you can turn it on or turn it off, and you can actually change it. So if there are transactions in there in that template that currently automatically loads, you can delete them, you can add some, you can do whatever you like to that list. So you might want to use that as a starting point and then make changes to it so that it becomes yours and how you want it to be. And then that is on your template list. And if you go in and edit it and say, yes, I want to include this when I create a new client, that will get used. If you untick that, it won't get used. Now, actually, a question's just come up for me. What if you've got a template and it's turned off and you create a new client? Will that new client have the existing template or will they have no template? I actually don't have the answer to that, so let's find out. How about Rob Banks? Oh, I've got a gap there. It doesn't like that space. Then I'll fix it. All right. No, thanks. So now if I sign out, and sign in as Rob Banks. Invalid password, okay. So if I go to transactions all, okay, so because that one was turned off, it went to the default. So we all just learned something. So if you've got templates and you've got them all turned off, it will default to the default templates. All right, I'm going to sign out and sign back in as that fake spending planner. Go to temp, I'll go away. I'm using a very generic password and Google is telling me that that password has been found on compromised information and I'm saying I don't care because it's not an important password. So I can get rid of that template. If I was to turn it on, it would then become a useful template. But I'm going to add a new one and I'm going to call this long-term expenses. And if you think about the six kinds of expenses that we teach people about, we've actually set these templates up. So when you choose, you can actually choose from those six. And there's actually an income one, which is not obviously an expense one. And you may recall that three and six have two. So we've got 3.1 and 3.2. So I'm going to say that this is replacing items because it's my long-term expenses account. And I'm going to put it into the savings account. And I want to include this when I create a new client. And so now I can go in and I can add transactions. If you go to the suggestions, and I'm not sure that many of you do, but you may not be aware that the suggestions are actually arranged according to those six kinds of expenses. So the first ones are weekly living expenses. And then we move to, once we get past that, to regular kinds of bills, which go on for pages and pages and pages. And then we eventually get to long-term expenses, which is where I want to go now. Driver's license, computer, car replacement, batteries, things like that. And then we end up with once in a lifetime. So I'm going to go car battery. I'd like to have that on my list for this particular template. Choose a category, it's transport. Another one, just so we've got a couple. I'm going to go to, when you go back to the suggestions, it always goes back to where you were. So I might put car replacement on there. That's also transport. And of course you can edit the time frame and all that sort of stuff. I'll add one more. Give me a suggestion. Carpet cleaning is not really a long-term. Computer equipment replacement. There we go. And I might change that to three yearly. And I'll call it maybe it's personal, I might need a new category. All right, so I've got three items on that list on that particular template. So if I go back to my template list, I can turn that on so it gets loaded when I create a new client. This one here, I'm actually going to delete it. So I've only got one template. It's my long-term expenses one and it's turned on. I might add another one and I'm going to call this I'll call it bills account for want of a better name and I'll call it bills there and it's going to go to the primary account. I'll include it in my new client list and I'm just going to add a couple of transactions. Whoops, what did I do? Add a new transaction. So house insurance is there, so it's got that. I'll do one more. I electricity. All right, so I've got two templates. One's turned on and one's turned off. So if I create a new client now, that will get used and that won't. If I edit this one, now they will both get used. If I turn them both off, it'll use the default. So I'll turn them both on and I'm going to add a new client. And this will be Owen Bills. He's Owen at bills.com, of course. And my same old generic password that Google knows is compromised. You might as well save that. Sign out. Sign back in. If I go to transactions all, there are the long-term and the bills. So it's pretty straightforward, but at first it does seem a little daunting. Any questions? Anybody think, oh, I might use templates now that I know how they work.
Hey David, I'm in the car, so I'm just mainly listening to you. But yeah,
that's fine.
Sherry showed me a bit about templates before, and now you've just made me think I could even go a little bit further than I normally do. So I think I'll do that before I sign up the next person.
Right. I mean, if you talk with somebody and they decide they want to be a client, in your conversation that you've had with that person, you'll obviously get to find out about them and their life and how they're, you know, whether they're in business or whether they're wage earners, whether their income's erratic or whatever it might be. And so before you go and create their account in the spending planner, you have an opportunity to go, actually, I think this particular template would suit that client better than another one. So you could have 10 different templates and customize them to suit different types of people. And the more experience you have as a spending planner, the more likely you are to actually know what you would want to put in your different templates. So,
that's a really good idea. If someone was so I could have a small business template, and if they're a person in business, I can turn that one on before creating their account.
Yep.
And for everyone else, just turn it off before I create their account.
Yep. And that was the whole idea of it. And I know the question has come up, can we actually choose not just transactions but bank accounts? And that requires a whole lot of code. And a couple of years ago, it came up as a query, and I think we even had a session where we invited all the spending planners to come on one night and talk about it. But in the end, we decided, and maybe it was me or Nick who decided that it takes all of 2 seconds to create an account once you've created a client, as in a bank account. And we probably need the clients to learn how to do that anyway. So we decided that really the benefit didn't justify the amount of work that was required. So that's kind of the official position at this time. One thing that came up today when I was researching this before we came on, I've just sent an email to Nick. If I go in here, say, for example, this one here, and I want to have a savings transaction to a savings account. So I go add a new transaction and I say, this will be savings. And I go to the transaction list and I've only got two options, income or expenses. Savings and transfer aren't on the list. So I've emailed Nick and said, this is probably something that needs to be changed. Can we please have the other two added? I cannot imagine why there would be any reason why they couldn't be there. I'm not even sure why they aren't there, but I expect that within a short period of time, he will have added those to that list. So if you wanted to set up a generic savings transaction to a savings account, you'd be able to do that as well and include it in a template. But at the moment, it's not there. That those two options for transaction types. All right, happy with that? Now, there was something else came up recently with one of the spending planners who was reasonably new, and it was like, I can't get the payment to the set up the $10 a month payment. And of course, we should know that you can go in and edit a client's details, put in their phone number, their email, actually that email address should be there. I'm not sure why it's not. But if you've been in here and looked, you will have seen that some of this information seems a little bit silly, like plan frequency, weekly. What does that mean? Plan type, personal. What does that mean? Budget start date. What does that mean? Those three really do nothing. I'm not even sure. I think it's a hangover from very early days when Nick sort of started creating this and he's just never bothered to go and take it out. So I actually have asked him, can we have a look at this? So we will go back and have a look at it. But you'll see there's a sign up button here. It's another thing that really doesn't belong here. It was our thinking when we started was that, that's weird, was that people could actually come to the Spending Planner website and sign themselves up. But we made the decision, no, that's not how it works. We want them, they have to go through a Spending Planner. So that's another one that really shouldn't be there. CASP, if you have an associate spending planner, you can allocate a client to an associate by picking from your list of associate spending planners there. So that button there is not the one that you use to actually sign the client up for their monthly $10 payments. You actually have to you have to click on this button here. Wrong, this one here, I'll try again. And that's where your sign up button is, where you go through and it'll bring up the product. On this one's not gonna work properly because it's a fake spending planner account that I'm using. So that was just something that every now and then we have a brain fade, and the person actually went into the settings, saw the sign up button and tried to sign up from there, but it wouldn't work because it's never meant to work. The other change that I announced on that Facebook post was we've made a slight change to this breakdown in the account transactions. Previously, the totals looked like they were just, there was no line here. And so it said surplus or shortfall at the top, but it was so difficult to actually interpret what it was saying. And if you added up these numbers, they rarely added up to make that number there. They do in this case, but they don't always. So I said to Nick, this is different, so it needs a different heading. So when you look at the different accounts, you've got probably income transactions, probably expense transactions, possibly some savings transactions, but you might have a transfer coming from one account to another, in which case that would be another inflow of money coming into this account, but coming out of that one. You can see it here, 208 is coming out of here, going into here. So this is basically saying over the course of the next year, the balance in this account will change by $302, this one will change by 208. But it doesn't necessarily follow that you add all of them up and get this total here. So I got Nick to put in an extra line so it says surplus or shortfall, and this is the overall position cash flow wise. So this is the only number that you really need to look at and say, yes, you guys are floating or you guys are sinking. Because these ones here could be negative, but that doesn't mean that they're running out of money. It just means they're trying to transfer too much money from this account to another one, potentially. So I hope that no longer is the confusion that it has been in the past for people. All right. Any questions about any of that?
I have a question from a client.
Is that Sherry? Yeah, I can just hear you.
Okay. She asked, in the calendar where it lists all the transactions, why do not payments or transactions that originate from an account show up there.
I didn't get all that on the calendar.
Yeah, it seems like the only transactions that show up are from the transaction list. If they originate from a loan, they don't show a loan repayment, they don't show up.
Okay.
And she was just wondering.
Sorry.
I said,
so yeah, they're not on the calendar.
I generally tell people that they have to be really careful not to duplicate, because often people will go, oh, I don't see a loan amount or a credit card payment. I'm going to go put in my car payment. You're like, you just doubled up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was a real tussle between how do we create it? It was like, if we create a credit card, we automatically create the payments to go to it, or do we not do it that way? Do we make it actually at the transaction list? And there's pros and cons, there's fors and against either way. So we landed with what we've currently got, but once you know what to do, it's not a problem. And I guess that's why you guys are there to guide people, but nobody's really brought it up as a hassle or an issue that has said to us, maybe we should do it the other way. But I'd be happy to listen if people said the way we're doing it at the moment is not the right way. Probably be a fair bit of coding to be changed, but,
in the calendar, it's only drawing data from the transaction lists. It's not drawing it from any of the accounts, which to me is no bother. I would look at the display plan, future bank statement. Anyway.
Yeah. And look, I think that's very significant. That's I would call that a serious omission. So it needs to be done. So I will add that to my request to Nick, because he's now basically saying, okay, I've finished that. What do you want next? So I've got him while he's hot. I'll get him. Sammy Boardman, what can I do for you?
I would like Sue's issue to be next, if that's possible. Thank
well,
you.
Well, it is. What I need to check is Nick wrong in what he thinks the problem is? So you and I do need to have a chat, possibly straight after this call, if you like, because I need to find out the facts.
Me too.
Yeah. Because when he said to me yesterday, oh, that's just a timing issue. I said, what do you mean? He said, it's just that the information isn't coming back from the server before she's moved on to doing the next one. And so it still appears to be there, but it's actually not there. It just looks like it's there. So if that makes any sense when you think about what I said earlier.
So are you saying that it's the person doing it's fault, not spending planners?
Well, no, it's really a fault of slow internet between the server and that particular client. But that's the theory.
But she's been a client for years and
And I'm only telling you what Nick's told me because, and I know for a fact that he is absolutely correct. If you've got a client that says to you, I've got duplicate transactions, when it first happened, Nick and I were both tearing our hair out. Look, you can see what happened. that was supposed to be funny, but it probably wasn't. But in the end, Nick actually worked out that it was just a case of it was doing what it was asked to do, but the information was arriving back at the computer after the person had moved on to their next thing. And if their next thing required a recalc, there would be two of everything. And to get rid of two of everything, all you have to do is go to any account you like, go to account list, click on the account, click on edit, problem solved. That would be the other thing. That is it, Sue? Is that her name?
Yeah.
If she just went to an account on the account list and clicked on it and clicked on save and then went back to the list, if the transaction is no longer there, Nick is right. If it is still there, he's wrong.
Well, I don't know. I'm conscious that this is a software issue. It's a client issue, and I don't want to bore the other spending planners to death with an issue that's been going on for months, because I don't, you know what I mean? I'm actually quite cross, David, really cross. So I'm not going to comment in front of the other spending planners. It's months. All right. I'm just really quite upset, but, and I, well, you know what I mean? I've known this lady years.
Here's the thing. If you have the fact that other people are listening in, it's not a negative, it's a positive, because we all...
What I've got to say is not positive.
Well, and here's the next thing I'm going to say. One client cannot have a different experience to 500 or 600 others and it be the problem of the software, because everybody gets exactly the same thing. And nobody else has reported this, so it has to... Oh, Deb, you've got to... Yeah, go for
it. If I could just offer another perspective... Sam, I've actually been having a similar issue with a couple of the accounting softwares that I'm using. They're browser-based, and I've actually found, I'm a Google Chrome fan, but I've found that occasionally I have to get out of that and go and use Firefox for whatever reason, because they all have their own little anomalies. And I've actually found, do you know what browser your client uses? Maybe she...
It'll be Google Chrome. I suggest they all use Google Chrome. I thought that was the plan with the spending planners.
Well, I just had an issue, I think it was last week, where I had to update Chrome. It wasn't coming up and telling me it needed an update. But when I went to research why I was having an issue with the accounting software, one of the suggestions was to update the browser. And sometimes it doesn't come up to remind you, oh, you've got an update, you need to update, you use the old version or whatever. Mm. It might be something as simple as that.
It might be a simple fix, but I'm just disappointed my client isn't sorted and hasn't had any, I don't believe she's had any communication.
It is frustrating, but I have that same for the help. Delay. Yep.
She rang the helpline for the help. I didn't get involved until like 2 or 3 days later when nobody had called her back. So that's why I don't think David and I should talk about it in you know what I mean, in front of you guys, but it's not, you know what I mean, it's a one-off, it's a thing, and I've
got my hand up to admit that I was at fault there, because I lost my phone, I couldn't find it, and that was my support phone, so it was just a very unfortunate situation. And there was a too big a delay between when she called and when I got back to her. So I definitely put my hand up and say I'm at fault there, Sammy. On what Deb said, I use QuickBooks Online, and it has an annoying problem where every time I go to do wages, and then when I'm finished doing wages, I hit the X to close that screen, it goes back to the main screen, and then it goes straight back to wages again. And the only way to resolve it is to get right out and to reopen the browser and start again. So it's, you know, anything that's online, and I might, you know, I've gone to support and they've gone, oh yeah, they're so hard to get to. So, and then they go, oh, no, we don't have a problem, you have the problem. So,
Sam,
but I don't like that attitude. So
can I suggest just one more little thing she might want to look at? This happened to me a while ago. I had one transaction in there that had no date, and I think it might have been a zero. The fact it had no date in there at all was causing an issue like that. Mm. I'm not saying that's what she's got, but if she can carefully check every transaction.
Yeah, I think we did that at the start. We went, because I think Nick suggested there might be a rogue transaction or a whatever in there, but she's used the spending planner software for years and years, and you know, now she's had this issue for too long, in my opinion, but anyway.
So the issue only started recently, not originally.
No, it's been going on.
Well, no, I mean, it hasn't been a problem all along, is what I'm saying.
No.
All right. Cool. Well, we'll have to look into that, and I suggest we connect straight after this.
I need to go very soon. I can't. Okay. I'm not available.
Oh, yeah. All right. So it was the templates that I really wanted to cover today, because that was something that came up last time and I thought, well, hey, let's have a look at this. Obviously, some other software issues have been mentioned. Right now would be a great time if anybody else has a software issue that they want me to look at, or something to complain about or request or whatever. Now's your time in the sun. Go for it. Lulu.
Hi. With the loan accounts, didn't there used to be, if they wanted to pay extra payments?
Yes.
Is that not there any? I couldn't find it.
If you want to make extra payments to a loan, you just set up a transfer from whatever account to the loan account.
Okay, that's fine. I thought somewhere, maybe that's in credit card, that if you want to make extra.
Yes.
That's
in the credit card. You've got three options. You can just pay the whole balance every month. You can pay what goes on the card plus an extra amount, which is possibly what you're thinking of, or you can just choose an amount.
Okay, that's where I'm getting confused. But with the loan, you just do a transfer from, say, bill, extra transfer from bills to the loan.
Yep.
Yep, okay, and great.
Yep. And if you want to create a different loan payment frequency than what's available to you, when you create the loan, make the payment zero and then go into your bills account or wherever the money's coming from to the mortgage and just set up a transfer to the mortgage and make it whatever frequency you want. So just basically zero out the payment that would be the official payment so that you can create your own artificial one. For example, if you've got somebody that pays $1,000 one month and $500 2 weeks later, or, you know, like different amounts during the month, just zero the payment on the actual account setup and then create transfers that actually suit what the client is trying to achieve.
Okay, got it.
And that will have the same outcome. There is another issue, though, with loan accounts that I thought you were going to bring up, and that is the interest calculates from the start of, like, whatever the start date is for the account. And as you process transactions, that date changes. And so if you're a person who likes to go in there every couple of days and process your due transactions, on the first day of the month, it'll say you've got, you know, $800 interest. And the next time you look at it, it might say $700 interest. The next time you look at it, it might say $600 interest. And it'll end up saying zero. Because the start date, which kind of becomes a statement date, keeps moving. So we've got to add in another field so that we can actually anchor the statement date to a particular day of the month. And that's an issue that's come up with a particular client right now, and that's also on our fairly urgent list. So I know you didn't ask about that one. Sherry?
So when my client, say if they want to pay extra on their loan, so in the loan account they're putting $300 a month, but if they want to pay an extra $100, then I just go into the transactions list of the account, that account, and put in an income of, say, another $100, and then I make a transfer from the bills account into there, so that balances out. Is that correct?
It sounds incorrect. So you go into the loan account and add a transaction called income.
Yes.
And then when you create the transfer from the bills account, isn't that doubling up?
No, because a transfer is just transferring money. It's not taking it away from the plan. A transfer is just moving money.
Okay, so I see what you're saying. So the transfer, you're on the dashboard, a transfer is not going to do anything to the bar graph.
No,
but it definitely is going to affect the repayment time frame on the loan. It's definitely going to affect the repayment time frame on the loan. So actually what I was just saying about setting up a transfer will give you the outcome you want with the loan, but it won't give you the outcome you want on the dashboard. So you probably have actually made me rethink what I just said a minute ago. If you set up an income to the mortgage and an expense in your bills account, they will cancel each other out. So I'm actually going to go and have a play with that. Extra payments.
So now I'm thinking, is that wrong? Because, again, there's the normal payment that's coming from the loan. And then I just go into the, like, blue button because I say, hey, I just want to pay an extra $100 a month, but not always. I put that as an income because that shows correctly in the future bank statement.
Yep.
But I have to get the money in there. So...
Yep. I'm going to have a look at that and I'll come back to you. I'll I'll actually clarify that. All right. Okay. So this is our last monthly webinar for the year. December and January I take off, and we'll be back in February. Now, normally at the start of the year we'll have an annual conference, and we'll get a guest speaker or, you know, someone like that. But I have been thinking about what will we do next year, and what I can't put my finger on any benefit that I could say that we've had from the last three. They've been really, not, don't get me wrong, what our keynote speakers have brought to conference has been good, but I haven't seen it actually make anybody's business change. And so I'm actually thinking we'd be better off workshopping together. Hang on a second. That's Nick ringing me. I'll call him back. I'm going to rethink how and what we do for conference, because I don't know that getting a keynote speaker over a couple of days has actually been the best thing to do. So I'm just thinking about that at the moment, but I'm happy, in fact, asking you guys for suggestions and any ideas on at all on what you want from me in the next 12 months. What I've started to do this week, I've been telling Kathy forever that I was going to do this, but we finally moved into our new house and I've got my studio all set up so I can just, at the drop of a hat, I can go and record a video message and get it up online. Since I created the Kids and Money program, what that has done for me is it's actually helped me to clarify 18 different topics and hundreds of snippets of information that I knew but didn't know that I knew, or hadn't got any clarity around the fact that I've got information that I can share with people. Having created that resource, I now can sit down and I go, I could create a 2-minute information video to go on YouTube or Facebook just about every day of the week and absolutely bombard people with spending planning and money tips, and this is the place you come to get information about money and help with money. And so I've started on that as my mission going forwards. But I want to hear from you guys what you want from me and the Institute in the next 12 months and beyond. Where do you guys think I need to be putting my energy? Ian?
David, did you say 18? Have you increased one?
Yes, I have.
Oh, okay.
I've added one called employment, and I squeezed it in just before real estate.
Okay, so it's 18 before 18, not 17 before 18.
I did actually put that in something that went out recently, but I haven't finished it yet, so I will let you know when it's officially changed. But at the moment, it's still 17, but it will become 18.
Okay.
Yeah. Ian.
I'm in those little snippets.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were finished. Ian.
Finish, Sherry? Good.
Oh, I'm done.
The Kids and Money program you've got, I've liked it since I first saw the thing. Do you have any issues if that's shared amongst A, students, and B, not-for-profit organisations that teach financial literacy?
I'm only getting bits of what you're saying. Oh. Just say that again.
Well, then the Kids and Money program. Yeah, so the headphones on. The Kids and Money program that you've got.
Yeah.
Do you have any issues in that being shared amongst school kids and or not-for-profit organisations that teach financial literacy?
Is that a question?
Yeah.
It's only available to you guys and whoever you make it available to.
So I could send it to someone without a problem. Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Okay.
I've been approached to actually turn it into a book.
Yep.
And I know at least one of the spending planners is of the impression or the opinion that you can't make information available one way and another way and another way. But nowadays, if you actually look at what's happening, people will have a book and they'll have a podcast. Workshop, and they'll have a, and that same information will get regurgitated.
Yep.
So if I turn it into a book and publish it on Amazon and sell it,
yep,
you guys can give a copy of that book away and say to people, look, I'm giving you this free book that's bestseller on Amazon, saving you $25 or whatever it is. I have no problem. What we want to do is get people out there to see that the Institute and the spending planners are a force to be reckoned with.
If you remember rightly, yeah, sorry.
No, you go.
If you remember rightly, when this was first brought up, I had the question about essentially turning into a book and publishing that book and then using it as a giveaway for home loan customers.
Yep. I said, great idea.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. I back you with what you're trying to do because it makes sense. But when I looked at it, I was going to look at sort of maybe two others. I think Abby and Tricia, for example, who were brokers in that getting it published by just a local, you know, publisher into a book format so that it could be, whether it's an ebook or whatever, so that it could be distributed. But the book idea, you know, I don't know who said you can't do, you know, three or four different versions of it. Because to be quite honest, doesn't make sense to me. The more you got to get rid of it or get it out, the better you're going to be.
Well, over probably the last four monthly webinars, I've sort of flogged Kids and Money, so I don't want to bore people. But
sorry, I wasn't.
There's so many ways that we can use that resource, from creating a little club of parents where you have weekly or monthly chats about the different topics, to giving it away as a book, to delivering it as a sign up for my free, you know, you can send out in installments. There's so many ways you could use it. But the whole reason why I created it was because I could see a lot of us were having difficulty knocking on people's front door and saying, hey, do you need help with your money problems?
Go through the back door.
Everybody needs help with their money problems, but it's kind of like too scary. Yes, I know, but I don't want to do it. I don't want to face up to it. It's the back door.
If you know, I did make a comment down below earlier in that I've come across two people that have used Scott Pape. One was embarrassed to send me her bank accounts because it didn't work according to her. And another client I've seen who actually has all the accounts set up, all the four of them that Scott talks about. And when I've looked on her mortgage offset account, she's pretty much saved stuff all. So, again, it hasn't worked for her. So, not one
well, big... I think as spending planners, we'd look at what Scott's done and said, that's great, but the problem that people seem to have is he doesn't give them the how to do it.
No, and it's...
He gives them the what to do, but not the how to, and where the how to.
If he changed it from percentage to dollar, I think it would work better. But percentage to
anyway.
Me... Makes you no good. But anyway.
All right. Thanks for that.
One last question, if I could.
Yeah.
When you go into the dashboard and you click on the transactions due.
Yeah.
I do that. And then when I click back onto the dashboard again and go back in, that button's still there, but the transactions have disappeared. Is that me or is that a glitch?
No. Well, if there's no transactions there, but the button's still there, there's something not right.
That's what happens.
Okay.
It's like, it's not a major problem, but it's just like when you're talking about glitches in your program, that's one that I've noticed and it's just, you just live with it. But
is this your personal spending plan?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to say, because if you can send me the link next time it happens, I can log in and have a look. But if it's your spending plan, you might not.
Oh, doesn't worry me.
Yeah. Next time it happens, just send it to me straight away so I can go and look at it straight away.
Okay. All right. We'll do.
Cool. All right. Annual conference, what you guys want. I'm thinking just one day because it's going to be virtual again this next time. What do you want me to focus on to help you the best that I can? And I've basically said, well, Kids and Money is going to turn into a book and I'm working on creating lots of money hints and tips, which we'll put them on all of the Facebook, put them on YouTube, everywhere that Kathy can think of putting them, we're just going to put them out there so that we saturate.
David, I honestly think the thing that we need to focus on is being able to sell what we do.
Yeah.
I mean, I even have you know, clients who have become, you know, great friends, and now we're working in partnerships and all this stuff, and they're going, listen, this is like so important. Even they're like scratching their head going, why are we having so much trouble trying to get people to buy into this?
Yep.
And I mean, there's a lot of people who don't want to look, they don't want to be found out, you know, so there's got to be a way around it.
It's not just money though. You think about people in general, they'll be smokers, they'll be drinkers, they'll be drug takers, they'll have illegitimate affairs, all sorts of things going on that they say, I need to fix this, but they don't.
Yeah.
And they don't want to face up to it because it's just too hard. And I think money is just another one of those things, which is why, I think right from the start when the Institute was created and we started talking about what we would offer people, and we were talking about a full-blown 6-month, 12-month service, big ticket item, whereas if you talk to anybody in marketing, they will say to you that you should use what's called a price ascension model, where you give somebody something for free, and if they like it, oh, okay, this person knows it. And then you offer them something for $4.99. Then you offer them something for $19.99. And you gradually develop the relationship by increasing what you're offering and obviously the price of what you're offering. And to me, if you can get someone on $10 software and say, this is going to change your life, you need to use this, it's just 10 bucks a month, and then check in with them a couple of weeks later and say, how are you going with that? Oh, you need a little bit of help? Yeah, I can offer you some help. And work your way up from, and they might not need a full 6-month program. They might only need a couple of hours of your help or a half an hour of your help or whatever. So start at the bottom and work your way up is probably more logical than starting at the top and then going, people are running away. So I absolutely admit that when we started, it was kind of like, this sounds like a good idea, but we've got to suck it to see to work out what works and what doesn't work. And it has been difficult to get people to go, yeah, I'm up for $1,000, $1,200 or whatever. Yeah, sure. So I think it really needs to start at the bottom. And Susie, that's what you were talking to me about the other day, starting with just get them on a subscription. So one of the things that I'm going to experiment with here is some radio advertising. Because, see, everybody says that that's the support line. Should I answer it?
Yeah.
No, I won't. I shall ring them back. Got their number. How do I do that? No, I worked it out. I'll ring them back in a couple minutes. What was I saying? Mustn't have been anything
radio. Of value.
Oh, radio, yeah. I'm hearing people say, oh, it's so hard using social media. You know, I'm advertising on social media, I'm posting on social media, I'm getting nothing. And I'm thinking, what about if we actually go full circle and try going right back to old school stuff and see what happens? And because I'm in a regional area now and there's a local radio station, I could advertise for a month for a couple of $1,000 and just see what happens. And maybe discover that old school isn't so bad. But we'll see. I'll let you know. All right, so marketing, yes, we know that. And I'm basically trying to, with all of these information videos that I'm going to do, it's about raising the profile of who we are and get people to go, yeah, these guys know what they're talking about. Maybe they're worth listening to. All right, well, I basically wanted to get more input from you guys today, but I also wanted to talk about the templates. Hopefully they will make sense. They're fairly simple, but if you go in there and have a bit of a play, it can look a bit daunting at first. So hopefully I've demystified that.
David, is there any way that we could kind of brainstorm of, you know, like, you know, there is that progression. Obviously, ultimately, it's our 6-7 month course or whatever it is, but little things, because I have a whole bunch of free stuff, but you just keep making stuff and giving stuff away for free. There's only so long you can keep doing it for. So, you know, maybe finding these little you know, like the $10 thing and the $50 thing and the, you know, $200 thing. So maybe there's some idea without shooting ourselves in the foot for what the main aim is, you know.
Well, what you really want is you want them on the software and then asking, how does this work? And then you can offer them, okay, well.
I don't know what their problem is.
Sorry?
I don't find that's what their problem is, like needing the software. I find the problem is that them actually doing something. And often software just confuses them. So, yeah, it's the actual taking action and getting your finding the details, all that type of process, you know?
Yeah. Look, I sold 30,000 copies of Simply Budget to people all over the world, mainly in Australia. And I know that some of those were never taken out of the box, never installed, never used. But I also know that some people used it for a little while. Some people still use it now and they ring me up in a panic if their computer's crashed and I convert them over to Spending Planner. As you just cannot get away from the fact that not everybody is your customer. They'll all talk like they want to be a customer, but some of them are reluctant to go very far and others are motivated to go a long way. But you've basically got to start at the bottom and work your way up, offer them what you've got and then let them decide where they're prepared to stop with, you know, how far they're prepared to go. So that's why I'm kind of thinking. Who's that?
Yeah, can I share? So I'm on a week.
Is that you, Sherry? Yes, it is. But you'll have to move. We're not getting much of what you're saying. In fact, I think you've disappeared.
I think because they're doing it as a group, so they're keeping up. You know, there's that positive peer pressure to not be the kid, that the student in the class that's behind. And so I'm finding it's working so much better than I even thought it would. There again, it's affordable because I'm only teaching it once, not eight times. And they've actually, it's been really good because they support each other. The shame kind of goes away at, you know, because they see that everybody else has issues as well. They're not the only one.
And nobody's talking about it, but everybody's got it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And so, yeah, I mean, you have to do it so that it's kind of, the price is kind of a no-brainer in a sense. And just try it, you know. Yeah. And it's been, it's been quite enjoyable doing it as a group.
The first bit of what you said, we didn't get it at all, but I'm thinking what you were saying was do it as a group. Mm. Try working as getting people in as a group.
Yeah, it's been really good.
I know you've had a lot of success with it just lately. How did you get people into that group?
Just through networking and personal invites and, you know, offering my former clients it at a real discounted price. As a refresher, hey, this is a refresher course, yet they're in the course giving testimonials because they've been using it for a while. And, you know, so, and then a lot of them, they have businesses. And so they want, you know, they want to create one just for their business. And, you know, they have children. And so it's all the referrals that will come from this as well. So yeah.
When you say networking, can you and expand on that?
Yeah, I'm in Facebook groups and network with the other people. You know, you get in a Facebook group and it will say, you know, promote your business or whatever. And people do that. And you engage in Facebook groups. You don't just go in there to promote, but you go in there to add value just to let them see. So all my posts I put in any group has to do with money, but no one ever sees that. Basically I have a business. I'm just helping people get to know me and to see me as an expert in what I'm talking about. And then they check me out. And then, of course, there's the promo days or event days hashtag that I can say, hey, I'm running a webinar. And I get people coming to those because of that, because they've seen me on social media in that group, commenting on other people's posts and just giving value and showing, wow, she knows what she's talking about. And yep. So then they come to the webinar. And then once they're in the webinar, then I say, okay, well, let's have a money chat. And that's when I explain what my services are, and they can book into the next course. But again, when I say that, it's not just once a week I do that. I'm going every day. It takes me about an hour to 2 hours a day that I'm involved in Facebook groups, you know, just right. being seen, because you can't just go in there and say, come to my event or will you buy from me? Because that's like going to someone, will you marry me, when you just met them?
Yeah.
So you have to build that. And so I've built a lot of relationships online in Facebook groups and networking groups that, yeah. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, I'm now getting the benefit of it, but I've been doing it for a year, really being active in people's groups. So. Yeah.
Right. All right, thanks for sharing that. I'm now running out of time and we've gone over the hour. Anybody got anything pressing they want to add, or I'll have to end it there? The recording will go up on the Resources Center.
I just sent you an email if you can have a look at that when you get a chance.
Say that again, sorry, Sue.
I just sent you an email if you have able to look at that, but only when you get a chance.
Yep. Cool. All righty. All right, yeah, and obviously do what Sue does and send me an email if you want to do it privately. Tell me what I'm doing right, tell me what I'm doing wrong. I don't care. Sticks and stones can break my bones. Words always hurt me. So, all right, well, I'll call it quits. Talk to you all soon. Bye-bye.